Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, August 19th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We hope everyone had a chance to watch our interview yesterday with Mordecai Vanunu. Mm-hmm. And we understand that the audio was a little bit difficult to understand just because of his accent and because it was being recorded live from Jerusalem. But as Michael Collins Piper said, he's the author of this book, that the last time he did an interview with Mordecai, it was almost like a transcendent experience or very spiritual. And we couldn't agree more. And
yeah, it was for us too.
Yeah, hopefully everyone had a chance to see Lisa's photo gallery at the end where Mordecai is standing like this, and he's so defiant in the face of power, so defiant in the face of this monster, and there's nothing that I respect more than this type of defiance.
Well, one of the things that stands out about him so drastically is his hope.
Yeah.
He's so hopeful and optimistic.
Yeah.
Also, we want to tell you that our interview with Kitty Awadu his interview with us from last Tuesday is on our homepage now. You can check out that. It was fantastic. That was transcendent, too.
Yeah, and that's on the right-hand column. It'll take about 30 seconds or so to load up. And also, the Wing TV lead article today is entitled George Noory and the Shadow Rodents. And I won't say anything more about it other than just read that article and you'll see where we're coming from and why people aren't taking the alternative media.
You should ask yourself, where's Clear Channel coming from?
Yeah, exactly. Now, our guest today is one of our favorite people in the whole world.
Yep.
His name is Visigoth. He hosts a radio show called From the Grassy Knoll. And the thing we like best about Viz's show is he doesn't just sit there and read articles from the daily newspaper verbatim like some other hosts do. And he's not afraid to take on controversial issues.
Not only that, he's one of the most well-read people we know. I mean, he's read books I never even heard of.
Yeah, and he has such a unique take on this talk show format that's unlike anyone else. So if you go to the Wing TV homepage also and look at our Radio A-List, you'll see Visigoth's name right up there at the mm-hmm. top of it. And we urge you very strongly to go to his website and see what he's doing. So we'd like to welcome Visigoth to Wing TV.
Hey,
how you doing, Viz?
Hey, Viz.
Well, as Tom Waits once sang, I'm in an emotional cul-de-sac. Actually, I was sitting here reading newspaper articles right off the net.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Right, listen, I got a little icebreaker here on an up note, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I'll give you the quote. You tell me about whom it is, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. It was a very elegant room, a sanctuary, a beautiful cave. He would have a fire, and we'd make love down there. I'd have my drink, and he'd have his drink, and we'd make love on the carpet. He used a door desk on sawhorses. He wrote with dexedrine and bourbon. Should I go any further?
that sounds
I know it's not Janet Reno.
It sounds like Hunter, but who knows?
You got it.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Now, that's Hunter from his former wife, Sandra.
Yeah. Now, the last time we were on Viz's show, he played a recording of Hunter Thompson that I don't think anyone's ever heard before. And he started talking about 9/11 and so forth. And this guy definitely knew there was more to the story. So, Viz, before we get going, tell everyone how they can find your website and also how they can hear your radio show.
Use the Internet. How's that? Seriously.
It's a short version.
Go to Visigoth, which is V-Y-Z-Y-G-O-T-H. .com. A little story behind that. Harry, whom you also know, and I started off on pirate radio. I mean, serious pirate radio. But the thing about where we are is we're not very far from the Tampa FCC office. So you don't want to make it real easy for those guys to come make a visit to you. So I use that handle, and Harry, of course, that's not his real name, used that handle. And we just carry it on, you know. I mean, it's not like you're going to hide from anybody.
Right, and of course now everyone knows. So.
Yeah.
What's that?
Of course now everyone knows. Now that you just said that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And tell everyone when you
know. Now we're legit now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And your show is broadcast.
I'm legit and legit. This is our legit period.
There you go. Now, and your show is broadcast now on Friday nights, correct? At 11:00 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern time. They do go out over two local AM stations. And we do stream on three streams, and that's all available there on the website for anybody that wants to take a look. I would say that PascoRadio.org, which is Harry's station, is probably the most substantial stream. We have problems sometimes at the radio station, but Harry takes the feed also off the radio because he's not far from the station.
All right.
He doesn't like to come out at night.
Yeah. All right, here we go, Viz. What's the single biggest issue that you think is facing the American people today? Of everything confronting us, what's the one issue? A nice, easy question to start things off.
As far as it impacts all American families, I think the single biggest factor is the spike in oil prices.
Mm-hmm.
Is that disappointing to you?
No. I mean, that hits
us. It's killing us.
Yeah, it's killing us here.
Well, not only that, as we saw in 1973 and 4, which I remember so very well, it is a way of, I mean, even if we don't have a financial crisis, which I'm sure we're going to, but even if we don't have one, the one single commodity that could bring, you know, just havoc to everyone's home life is the rise in oil,
yeah.
Whether it's your car, your home, and all the goods that you get that are transported by vehicles, the airline industry. I mean, this is a real, real vice grip that they have people in, and this time they're really going for the throat.
Right. And energy is the biggest industry in the world, so, I mean, that just feeds right into it.
I'm going to get off on a different tack now.
Okay.
We've been seeing more and more lately certain writers putting out material that denigrates God or the idea of God, like they're trying to obliterate and erase Jesus and the notion of God from the public mindset. Namely, John Kaminsky comes to mind. But isn't this exactly the same goal as New World Order proponents?
I mean, I don't know if John's an atheist or not. I know he's repulsed by the idea of Christianity, as many are, and I understand that because of the way that Christianity has been misused and hijacked. I mean, there's two forms of it. I mean, people can say they are, they can talk it, and then there's the people who really walk it. And I mean, warfare is not of, you know, Jesus Christ. I mean, this is complete hijacking of the spiritual element. Now, yeah, to get rid of religion, you never really do get rid of religion. Even if you say you're an atheist, you still believe in something.
Yeah.
Well, see.
So, I mean, as far as this goes, I mean, I don't appreciate it, but I mean, he's got a right to say so.
Oh, of course.
But I mean, in that one article that he wrote, he said that he dispelled the Christianity myth for the myth from what's her name, Achara S or something.
Uh huh.
I'm like, well, what do you mean? You're going to dispel one myth for one that you know is a myth.
Yeah. Well, he also said in this latest one, God didn't invent man. Man invented God. But didn't man really invent religion? God invented man. Man invented religion.
I mean, I understand where he's coming from. You know, and I told him once, you know, I have a personal experience. I know it's for real. Some people, most people probably won't embrace it. That's fine. However, what I do object to, especially as we see in Pat Robertson and Falwell,
right,
some of these other characters, is the notion that Jesus wants to kill people in the name of God, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous. And so this whole notion of going down there under the banner of Jesus Christ,
right,
is the Vatican and the Crusades back at the 12th century.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest problem is that people confuse Jesus and the truth with organized religion,
right,
and they're mutually exclusive. Now, Viz, when I started the show off, I was talking about Mordecai Vanunu and this concept of defiance, and it seems like less than four years after 9/11, people still don't take seriously that there's going to be another spike event sometime in our future. And the biggest problem I have with this attitude is that we're so willing to accept the injustice and the corruption and the tyranny around us, and there's nothing more I would like than to see people finally get out in the streets with shovels and torches and guns in their hands. And I don't know if that's the solution, but at least it's something. You know, we have to go for the throat. What do you think about this seeming apathy that consumes so many of us?
Are we talking about both Christian and non-Christian?
Well, just
everybody.
The whole spectrum.
Well, as regards to the supposed evangelicals, let me just say this. There's some strange thing that has occurred, and I've often talked to ministers about this, some of them who get it. And that is, why do Christians impute to mainstream news this integrity?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do they figure that they deserve that? They don't know these people. They don't know this industry. They certainly don't know its history. And they'll sit there and they'll just take it and they'll believe that is gospel.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, they don't test the spirits there. And you know, this is a real big stumbling block. As far as everyone else goes, unfortunately, my very best friend, whom I speak to and who knows me and will at least countenance what I have to tell him, will just look at me, you know, like a deer in the headlights. And eventually, when he gets frustrated enough, he'll say finally, well, what are you going to do about it anyway? And that's what I think you're facing in America right across the board, is that they want to be left alone like we all do, but they don't get it, that bullies are never satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never be left alone like Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis said, you know, the right to be left alone is the most precious. And guess what? It's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
Right, but this extensive level, this widespread level of suggestibility and gullibility doesn't just pertain to people who adhere to the mainstream media. It also affects these cyber sheep on the Internet. And a man who writes to you also, Justin Stark, and he gave me permission to use his name,
right,
said I could quote him. I wanted to read this to you because it's so, it just resonates. The crowd is composed of idiots, by and large. Some are looking for a guru. Most haven't got a clue and don't want one. They'll destroy you rather than learn. The only way to successfully deal with them is by arbitrary and arrogant manipulation. The globalists know this, as did the founding fathers. Both groups were also a very small minority, but they use and have used leverage and timing to herd the sheep and cattle where they wanted them. Don't expect loyalty, gratitude, trust, or any positive feedback. They need to be dragged, kicking and screaming, out of the burning house against their will. They are to be maneuvered out of the slaughterhouse the same way they were shepherded in, but they are dangerous during that process.
Well, one of the things I do, I always enjoyed history. I probably should have majored in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing you can't argue with are the works written by generations of this Illuminati or global order that tell exactly what they're going to do. And, I mean, how do you argue with these things when you look at them in print and see what's happening today?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I've done, is go back and say, well, then explain this to me. Explain this to me.
Yeah, and that's the one of the strongest points of your show, is you do go back in history and bring these quotes on. As you say, you know, there's conspiracy theory. Well, there is a conspiracy, and it's not a theory, which there's, you know, has to be a distinction made. Now, when we talk in this conspiracy field, there's something I call the control pyramid, and people have different ideas who runs it or who controls it. Some people say it's the Masons or the Jesuits or the Zionists or the Illuminati. In your opinion, Viz, what constitutes this global control pyramid?
Well, I've finally settled down that it is a spiritual situation that's gone on for centuries. And you can say it's gone on ever since the fall of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But as we see things today, I think it gets very pointed and heated when you look at what took place in Europe at the time of Adam Weishaupt and his partnering with the Rothschild banking houses. They've always wanted a one-world order, and they've been confounded several times. But from there springs everything else that takes place. The Western Hemisphere, of course, with Rothschild staking Morgan to some money. And in fact, actually, Rothschild staked the Vatican at one time, although now the Vatican can wag Rothschild. But I do believe that sitting over all this is a spiritual element, and, I mean, I'm not anti-Roman Catholic, but I'll tell you, I have to say I come down on the fact that this is being orchestrated by the Vatican, and everything else are tributaries off that rule. And remember, they've been around, they and the Jesuits, since the 16th century.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all hands at this. Everyone else are almost, in comparison, newcomers.
Yeah.
Did you read this about the illegals, Viz, that they've been shoving their kids in gas tanks and inside of dashboards trying to cross the border? And they're getting they're rounding up all these kids, finding them soaked with fuel inside of gas tanks.
Where is this happening?
This is happening on our borders, and I guess now we're going to have a $1.5 million ad campaign to inform illegals about the dangers of hiding their children inside car parts. They've identified like 300 different compartments they can stuff kids into to smuggle them across the border, and I just want to know, how much fence do you think that money would buy?
Not only that, but I mean, who paid for the dislocation of the Jewish settlers in Gaza?
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy.
$2.2 billion.
And they're complaining.
Yeah. Well, there's been...
I mean, and again, I don't mean to go back to this, but I'll have to say that it's interesting that one of the ways that you can overthrow a nation like ours is to try to change its demographic and racial and ethnic landscape.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that this is the second time in about almost 120 years that you've had a forced migration into the United States, mm-hmm, by Roman Catholics. The first were the Irish before the Civil War, and now through Latinos in Central America, South America, and Mexico. And people say, well, you're a racist. I'm saying, look, it's history. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
twice, and who would sit on top of that but the Vatican?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I want to bring up something we've talked about before on your show, and that's this discussion about the role of the alternative media and journalism. And there's been a lot of discussion lately about one camp says that there should be very high standards in the alternative media where everything should be verified and corroborated, while the other camp says that basically anything goes. They read a news article and just hit send on their keyboard and just send it everywhere on the internet. What are your thoughts on this cowboy journalism?
This lack of accountability.
Yeah, and how much it's hurting the alternative media.
I think more and more the alternative sector is starting to take on mainstream traits. I mean, we all know you can go to a newspaper stand and buy a New York Times or a Gazette or whatever. And you can also go into the supermarket and while you're waiting to check out, pick up the Inquirer.
Yep.
I think you got the same thing happening here.
Yeah, very tabloid.
What bothers me is, I mean, we must understand that Poindexter and the boys are out there to spread this info and mm-hmm. try to do as much as they can to cast a pall on Patriot Alternative News. What hurts us so much is that, see, we're not allowed one loose cannon because
right.
that makes us all bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Right. And, you know, the Inquirer, everybody knows, but they trust the New York Times. In this situation, they cannot trust, like, a sensational website or news source, but then we all get doo-doo spread on us as well.
Yeah, and we have to give you credit for talking about this on your show because mm-hmm. a lot of people seem to shy away from it, but this is a very, very serious issue, and if we allow it to just keep going like that, that's why they laugh at us, ultimately.
Right. Well, and namely, if you talk about this Bush-Cheney indictment story, you know, if you ask, if the House were to bring impeachment charges against Bush and the Senate were to try them, who's the compelling authority that's going to arrest the president? You know, nobody's going to be able to get near him. Who's the compelling authority?
I don't know. We had a situation like that, too, I guess it was, with Skolnick saying that there was a coup d'etat that took place around the time, I guess, what, in April of 1995?
Yeah.
And he talked about the plane crashes with flag officers in them. I mean, there were two plane crashes that day. They didn't look like to be really high-ranking people. So, you know, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but when I look at it really doesn't fit the bill.
Well,
so
the president isn't even required to stand trial in person.
Right.
So.
No, let me ask you this, though. What about the story about the general that was dismissed? What was his name, Byrne?
Yeah.
Well, what do you make out of that?
Well, we looked at more so, and, you know, I've read that and posted on the Wing TV homepage, but this big Chicago subway shooting, which people now have went and actually checked out for themselves, mm-hmm. and none of the pieces fit into the puzzle.
Right.
And when you put this back to these people that are putting the information out, then they either say their website is shut down because the government's
attacking them,
whatever. And there's always an excuse not to verify.
Well, they never directly answer any questions.
Well, you know, you never get any response.
Right.
Yeah.
As we talked about on my show, when you guys came on, there's a group of people that have galvanized, which I find very interesting. They have much the same MO. And I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. I really don't want to believe people on our side would, I don't know, get perverted or corrupted. But certainly this whole rash of stories that come out now, I mean, it's disheartening to see at the least. I mean, what is the purpose? Is it to discredit us? I mean, I don't get it.
Distraction.
Yeah, or to just send everybody off on wild goose chases. Now, in the news today, we heard that Cindy Sheehan left Crawford Ranch because her mother had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I was going to originally ask you was that it seems like Cindy Sheehan now has become the story du jour, and she replaced a few months ago Terry Schiavo. And these issues are very divisive. And the fact that they galvanize or polarize people, you know, on the left and the right. What's your take on Cindy Sheehan and these stories du jour?
You know, in a situation like that, I mean, she might have, I'm going to believe that she had good intentions and she was moved by her doubts and her grief.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, you play into a media and you're not the kind of person, neither are we, who are used to media attention, and sometimes your personality changes because you're just not used to it, and you might be led down a path you don't want to go, but you just basically go with the flood. I look back also though on stories like, okay, what was the deal with was it Berg and the RICO case?
Uh huh.
And whatever the woman's name is, I forget.
Oh, yeah, Ellen Mariani? Ellen Mariani.
Yes. What happened with that? And then I think about Jimmy Walter popping up, going to do this, and Schwartz doing this. They seem to come up, and then they go down a side street, and I guess maybe people follow them. I don't know, but it always takes them away from the core of this whole issue. And I don't know necessarily that the distractions, but, you know, now we're in a situation where there's a lot of smoke and mirrors and illusion. But you had to believe this was going to happen in any movement that meant anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, in order to have a movement, people have to get off their butts and move. And if the majority of these people would spend a little less time posting in internet chat groups and out on the street holding up a sign, I can't tell you how thrilled I would be.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you that I'm convicted by that. And one of the things I'm thinking about is probably, and I've said this about a year ago, so I either got to produce or shut up. And that is perhaps putting together as cogent, say, a PowerPoint presentation as I can, and go to libraries, and go to my university at the risk of getting fired, and start making people think. I mean, hostile territory is the place you must be. And I think sometimes I and others are guilty of preaching to the you know, the choir.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
And, you know, I'm fighting and battling with the idea of whether I continue doing the radio show, doing something more, and going places that perhaps are not as comfortable or as hospitable.
You know, you could do flyer blitzes and then meet elsewhere. This way you don't lose your job.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing is the comfort zone. And, you know, this fall, Lisa and I are going to start going out down on campus and in town.
We do it every year.
And take our banner down there and just start letting people see it. Now, because you kind of touched upon before this infiltration of the alternative media. And everyone will agree that the powers that be, when they see a movement that's in opposition to them, one of their first priorities is to go in and infiltrate it.
Mm-hmm.
People have no problem accepting that. They know about programs like COINTELPRO and so forth. But when you start coming out and giving examples of it, then they start screaming bloody murder and saying that this can't possibly be. What do we have to do to let people know that this whole alternative media patriot movement isn't pristine and pure?
Well, I got to tell you, that's a tough one. But I'm starting to think that for the most part, I divorce myself from everyone else and just, like I said, try to go back to what's been grounded in literature and the events of the past that people are not aware of because it wasn't in their history textbook.
Right.
You're always going to have alternative media denigrated. You're always going to have people affixed to us the slam about being a conspiracy theorist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly says it every day on his radio show. They lie. They lie on the internet.
You're right, exactly. But, I mean, I'll tell you what. Even today I had a conversation with a history or poli-sci prof at the school and who gave me a wink and a nod a couple of weeks ago about when I tried to talk to him about some stuff. But then I happened to have a book that he had read, and I said to him, well, look at what has happened that was recorded in this, and I'm referring to Towards Soviet America by William Z. Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Just this very day, a light bulb went on, and he looks at me and he's going, so, and we get down to a final sentence, he goes, so you think it might be the bankers? I'm going, no bankers, no war.
Exactly, yeah.
Now we got something going. I'm not going to say he's going to share that in the classroom. I doubt he will. But there's a situation where at least he was wrong because he heard a kernel of truth, or at least what could be truth.
Right.
Yeah. Well, because
we were able to run with it.
Yeah. I got one more quick question for you, but before I do, give everyone your website address again and tell them how they can find your show.
All right. The website's Visigoth.com. It's a corrupted spelling of the real Visigoth, and that's VYZYGOTH, Visigoth.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can reach me at Visigoth@hotmail.com as well. The streams for the show, you go to the website and you'll see you can go to pascoradio.org, kgrn.info, or remnantradio.org. That's run by Paul Pilgrim out in Boulder City, Nevada, who still is going pirate, and a guy who's really sold out as well. So I appreciate the fact that all of them allow their listeners to listen on their particular streams.
All right, last question. There's been a lot of murmurs lately about this next spike event. Some people are talking about suitcase nukes, other people, again, and we've been talking about this for months, the avian bird flu. My take on it is, what if there was a fake attack, like a fake nuclear attack, that the whole thing is just connived to create more terror so they don't actually have to spill the radiation but make it appear as such? Where are we going in the next 6 months or so?
All right, now the avian flu has popped up again, and of course with all the rhetoric. But as I don't know if I ever said this to you, but I had a Newsweek back in May of 2003 that had such unbelievable, sensational claims about SARS, which we can't even think about anymore.
Right.
Uh-huh. So sooner or later there's going to be a release. But when they do these things, I actually think it's to keep people in a state of fear. Sooner or later it's going to happen. The suitcase news. Something's going to happen in America. I think it's too soon. I got to tell you, I hang my head on the fact that nothing's going to get that radical until the Olympics are over.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I think everybody's going to make nice, just like they did in 1936. And then after the Olympics, we got World War II.
Yeah.
Right now, we might get something after the Olympics in 2008, because China's going to play nice. Everybody's going to be good. And you guys know it's orchestrated, so it's all, it's all a script.
Yeah. Well, Viz, thanks for coming on today. Everybody go to Visigoth.com. Listen to a show. It's every Friday night, 11 o'clock p.m. to 1 o'clock in the morning. Great guests, great talk. And
Viz, thank you very much.
We just thank the world of this guy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, folks.
All right. Take care, everybody out there. Have a good weekend. Thanks for tuning in to Wing TV. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, keep your eyes open. There's a lot going on.
See you then.